Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
The beauty of that isn't the song itself, it's hearing a horse in the background. I don't know why, but that makes it more dimensional for me.
I disagree strongly.
Do you like the song more?
The beauty is the song.
All right.
Yeah,
Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. Fine, fine columnist. For how many years, Eric? How long have you been at the Trib?
Well, I've been at the Trib for 37 years. I've been a columnist.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing.
I know.
Really?
For a guy as young looking as I am.
Yes.
It's been a long time.
Wait, you're lying.
No, I'm not lying.
37.
Came here in 1980.
My God.
That's a long time.
No, it's a long time.
I was still in high school.
I wasn't born yet.
Yeah, you're a liar.
Eric, a couple things that you wanted to bring up having to do with America's pastime, baseball. You have a gripe or two, huh?
I have a gripe or two. One is this thing with the rally towels.
I hate that.
I hate the rally towels. It's like, I think, what did Pittsburgh start it many years ago? The terrible towels, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think, boy, I'm trying
Who
to think.
The rally monkey?
Wasn't
there one?
Was there a rally monkey?
I thought so.
I don't know. I think the Steelers got the most notoriety because of their towels, but I don't remember if they were the first ones.
It's kind of like the wave. It's one of those things where if you're the school that thinks of it,
yeah,
you do it, then it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But if you're just copying another team and the Dodgers fans are using it, and I think the Cub fans, I've seen Cub fans doing it too, waving rally towels. The Cub fans are cool enough not to do the wave.
Right.
Give them that.
Right.
But
that's because they're not paying attention to the game.
Did you see yesterday during the game, I saw this twice, they were throwing a beach ball around the stands, like at crucial moments in the game. At a very close 1-1 tie, there's beach balls going around the stands.
What, was Jimmy Buffett at the game?
Yes. There's a bunch of parrot heads out there.
Yes.
I didn't see that.
They just need something to amuse themselves. And I can't figure out, you get to see Mary Hart during these games,
because
she's always right behind home plate. With her husband, by the way, who Steve pointed out, Steve Bertrand told me, do you know who her husband is?
I don't.
Do you remember the name Bert Sugarman?
Yes.
Where would people know that name from?
Oh, I'm thinking Danny Sugarman, who wrote all those Doors books and stuff.
No.
Bert Sugarman.
Bert Sugarman was the producer of Midnight Special.
Oh, remember? Yes.
So on Saturdays, they would have this is before Saturday Night Live, they would have bands come out and perform for an hour, and it was called Bert Sugarman's Midnight Special. That's Mary Hart's husband. You get to see them behind the backstop.
I wasn't born yet.
You weren't born yet? But you know who's missing is Larry King was always there last year, and I don't know where Larry is.
I hope he's okay.
I hope he's all right.
15 years ago, the Angels had the rally monkey.
There really wasn't a rally
with
monkey?
With some help from Ace Ventura. Yep.
Oh, that's excellent.
So I don't mind a rally monkey. I just feel like this.
So if everyone in the stands were waving a monkey around, you'd be okay,
I'd
but
be
a
okay
towel.
With it. Well, I mean, at least originally the rally monkey was a good idea. Don't like that. The thing that I don't like is I don't like how teams go nuts after they win like a division series.
The celebrating.
A win
like
is
that.
A win,
just
you guys.
A bit much.
I'm
about
all
the,
for
they
it.
Have not accomplished that much. No one is going to remember who won the division series.
Yes, they
will.
Will
not.
How about the guy who caught the ball at the end of the game last night? He was like by himself in the corner of the outfield in the bleachers or whatever and just had his mitt. He was all by himself.
Yeah, that was exciting.
I want to say I did not see that because as soon as that ball went over the wall,
did you switch off?
I turned off the TV. Apparently people tell me this catch was kind of cool. I can't watch another team dogpiling.
I
can't watch other fans going crazy.
I know.
It's over.
All right, but let's go back to the celebrating thing because I've heard other people say, until you win the World Series, you have no business celebrating because that's the ultimate
prize.
You
can celebrate, but not they're delirious. They're spraying each other with champagne.
But don't you
think
after a season, a six-month-long season, 162-game season, just the mere fact that you've made it to the postseason, that's not enough to celebrate?
No, you get me wrong. Celebrating is fine.
Just not excessive.
They just go crazy. It's like those kind of celebrations used to be reserved for winning it all.
Yeah.
And I think it's still kind of true. I mean, you don't see this in college basketball when the team advances to the Elite Eight. They don't like go in the locker room and cover everything up with, of course they're college so they can't drink,
they can't
so they're spraying each other with seltzer water or whatever. But they just don't I don't think in any other sport do they go as crazy winning a preliminary round in the playoffs as they do in baseball.
I think it's supposed to be exciting.
I'm all for it. I've heard other people say the same thing that
I'm with
oh,
them
please
but give them my number. I want.
Did you see the football player yesterday? And I don't know who he was and I don't know what team. I just saw it on a highlights reel. So he intercepts a pass at the end of the game, and then his celebratory dance includes him holding up his arms and getting frisked by three other players, and then they pretend to handcuff him and take him off. So at the time when I saw it, I thought, oh, that's pretty funny. This is well choreographed. He's not really up for it. He's not in any trouble, but these guys pretended to frisk him and take him off in handcuffs.
Because he stole the ball.
Yeah.
Excellent.
But now everybody's on him saying, because of everything that's going on in football and the way that police are treating people, you can't be doing something like that. So they're trying to decide if he should be fined or...
Are you kidding me?
They didn't beat him. They didn't beat him or anything.
No. Okay. No, there wasn't anything like that. But they just said that it was insensitive at a time when the NFL needs to show some sensitivity, that this whole act was very insensitive
Was it a black guy being frisked by white guys? Was there any racial component to the celebration?
As far as I'm concerned, there was not. I just saw a player
making
a catch.
Well, as far as you're concerned, I'm saying
I don't
reality.
Think there was. No. The reality was, no, I don't think so.
I am doing away with sensitivity. Really, come on. I know.
That sounds objectively pretty funny.
It was really funny. And so, I mean, so well put together, because obviously these guys practiced this. It just didn't come together that easily. So I gave him credit for that, but he could be in some trouble.
Well, I mean, we get to the celebration, and there was some criticism for a while. And the NFL tried to crack down on people celebrating in
for
the
years.
End zone, right? They said that you couldn't. And those are kind of fun, but those aren't, you know, prolonged, sustained, spraying each other with champagne and stuff. I mean, the kind of, you know, the little celebrations, the little dances, the Icky Shuffle. Remember the Icky Shuffle?
I do remember. Yeah.
It was fun.
Icky Woods, was that the player's name?
Icky Woods, yeah.
So what was in it for the NFL?
Tiger's older brother.
To ban that? What was the NFL? Was it to save time? What were they getting out of
taking a celebratory dance? Well, there was some concern that it was not sportsmanlike. And there is a sense of they did get rid of like the sack dance. Remember where you would Mark Gastineau, if that name's familiar to you? Were you born for that?
He had great hair.
He would come and then he would stand over the quarterback and taunt him.
Yeah.
There's something about that where you're actually taunting your opponent. That's bad sportsmanship, and I'm for getting rid of that. But I don't think
when you get a touchdown, do it.
When you're celebrating in the end zone, you're celebrating with your teammates. You're not going over to the other bench and pointing at them. That's cool with me, I think. You know?
What about when the player does that thing with his ear where he pretends that he can't hear the crowd cheering to make the crowd cheer louder?
Or they do it to the opposing fan.
I have never seen that ever.
You've never seen that?
Stupid.
It's really stupid. But I've seen a bunch of players do it over the year where they score a touchdown and then they put their hand to their ear like, I can't hear you applauding for me.
I think it's more done. Now we should ask the audience, but I think it's more done to taunt the other
It's done
fan.
Then too.
Like,
it's
let's
done that
out.
Too. Yeah.
But you know, it's
still stupid.
It is stupid. It is very stupid.
There is, I think, a desire by part of these leagues to maintain sportsmanship. I think you want to set a good example. You don't want kids on the playground taunting each other when they're playing sports and so on.
Right.
But there's a difference between celebrating a home run or celebrating a touchdown or even celebrating a basket. I think it was the NCAA crackdown because players for oil are popping their jerseys. Remember that? Like you'd hit a basket and then you'd hold on to your jersey and you'd hold off the name of your school.
Yeah.
They cracked down on that.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like there are too many stuffed shirts
maybe
out there who are
being popped.
Not popping. But I think sportsmanship is important. But again, it's like when you win the division series, you should act like they used to say about scoring a touchdown. You should act like you've been there before a little bit, you know, like so.
Now, you know what's happened? I don't know if this is happening in other sports, but it's happening in tennis because I follow that very closely. In high school tennis and in college tennis, there's constant taunting going on between the players.
While they're playing.
You don't see it at all in the pros. Zero in the pros. But for some reason, in both high school and in college tennis, you're allowed to taunt your opponent.
That's so amateur.
Awful. It's awful. I would not have done it when I was in high school. I didn't play in college, but I played in high school. There's no way I would have done it. But now coaches get on the players if they don't do it.
So the idea is you rattle your opponent.
Yeah.
Say, see this ball last time? You're going to see it right now.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Tennis is supposed to be kind of a quiet sport.
A gentleman's game.
Sport. I thought it was,
No, I've seen it happen several times, and I don't like it at all.
But isn't there something also going on in tennis where there are players who are lauded for their sportsmanship because they will call fouls on themselves.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So on. I mean,
you see that every once in a while.
And, of course, golf is that way. Golf, you're supposed to call penalties on yourself.
Yeah.
I never do. I feel like it's wrong.
It hurts.
I feel like it would impact my score.
Don't do it. Eric Zorn is here, everybody. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorn is here. You know him from his long, 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 long career over at the Chicago Tribune. Eric, am I hearing this correctly? There's something about Donald Trump you're not happy about?
Something, and it's among the things I'm not happy about. This is maybe a small one, but I thought it was an interesting wrinkle in the Donald Trump style book. And that is that last week he attacked Bob Corker, Senator Corker, from Republican
Little
Tennessee,
Bob Corker.
As Little Bob, Little Bob, he spelled it L-I-D-D-L-E, criticized him for that. He's going after him, but just calling him Little. And, you know, Corker is 5'7".
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I went and I said, he's been doing this. You know, Marco Rubio, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Who Little Marco.
5'9", 5'10". He was calling
That's
him,
what he called
was calling him Little Marco.
Yeah.
And he's also referring to Kim Jong-un as Little Rocket Man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, now it's Little Rocket
so
Man?
Little, yeah. So Little is one of the things that he derides people. He uses their height mm-hmm. as a way of insulting them. And and there's so many examples of this. I found a few more looking through them. He called George Stephanopoulos, Little George Stephanopoulos, Fat Little Rosie O'Donnell, Little Donnie Deutsch from MSNBC.
Who, by the way, he was very close friends with for years, and then something happened, and all of a sudden
Bob Corker was a big ally.
Yeah, he was.
Corker's a Republican senator from Tennessee who's been giving Trump a hard time lately. Little Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York. Rapper Mac Miller called him Little Mac.
What about Lil Wayne?
And yeah, right. And Daily Show host Jon Stewart called him Little Jon Stewart. But never has he called Vladimir Putin Little.
Oh, interesting.
And Putin is the same height. Most of these people are 5'7", 5'8", 5'6". There's someone there. George Stephanopoulos is reportedly 5'5". Doing this story, I was having a hard time finding out exactly how tall people are, because most of that's self-reported, right?
Oh, right, sure.
So Trump self-reports at 6'2 or 6'3". His driver's license, Politico found his driver's license that said 6'2". But, of course, in your driver's license, you don't have – they don't measure you.
No, they
don't
weigh
you and measure you.
Yeah.
They sort of take your word
Thank
for
God.
It.
Thank God.
Up on the scale, ma'am. No, I'd rather not drive. Thank you.
Exactly. I'll walk. Are you kidding me? But this is this thing, and it's really a strange thing, and nobody really talks about it, but of all the things, it's kind of like criticizing someone for their skin color,
right?
Like if he had said, Black Ben Carson is, it would be absurd, it would be offensive. Because this is not a choice that you make. This is not, this is your height is your height, your skin color is your skin color. And to criticize someone for that is like almost the most prejudicial, the most bigoted thing you can do. And yet nobody says anything about it. And I don't see any really. I'm a tall person. I'm taller than Donald Trump. I never call him
little
Donald
Trump.
Yeah, I'm 6'10". So no.
Yep.
No,
and getting bigger.
No, I'm more like I'm about 6'4", and Trump is about 6'6". But you know what? That doesn't make any. It has no correlation as far as in my experience with anyone's character, with anyone's intelligence.
It's reminiscent of remember in grade school when kids were first learning to be mean to each other,
right.
And that's what they would do is they would pick the most obvious thing.
Right. Often something that you had no control over.
I mean, right.
If you want to criticize Bob Corker for his clothes or his hairstyle or his statements or his votes, these are things that he's chosen.
Right.
I mean, but to go after his height?
Yeah.
And this seems like it's something that people don't realize that this is a classic bully. And you point out the elementary school quality.
Yeah.
It is a classic elementary school bully thing. You pick a physical attribute over which the person has no control at all. And you go right for that.
How's his wife's anti-bullying campaign going? Is it going well?
I don't think so.
No?
It's got to start at home.
No?
But it's one of the things that really struck me was that he goes after people like this all the time.
Right.
And almost never on substance. He never comes back on with a substantive reply. He's just like Little Marco. And, of course, he did things with Jeb Bush, with low-energy Jeb. Now, arguably, Jeb Bush could have had some more caffeine and been higher energy.
Right.
We've also, you remember he got a lot of grief for going after Carly Fiorina. Remember, mm-hmm. like, look at that face. Can you imagine that face?
Mm-hmm.
And so people recognize that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's also a fairly growing sense in our society that fat shaming people is wrong. Like if someone is overweight, that he didn't go after fat Chris Christie, for instance, which
he didn't.
I don't think that way. I looked. Yeah. I actually searched his Twitter feed for a bunch of different insults, and Little was the one that came up a lot more than anything else. So, but we're sort of getting our minds around that you don't shame people, you don't insult people for their weight anymore, and that because we recognize that people don't have the kind of control over that we like to imagine that they do, or that like to imagine that we do. So, but why is it that it's okay to make fun of someone's for their height?
I'm confused by that
and
also.
I actually made a quick list of. Do we have time for this? I'm going on and on. But there are a number of people who in history who were fairly short, fairly accomplished. Martin Luther King and Winston Churchill were 5'7". Ulysses S. Grant and Humphrey Bogart were 5'8".
Humphrey Bogart was only 5'8".
I know, a little shrimp. Mahatma Gandhi was 5'4". And I think James Madison was 5'3 or 5'4".
Oh, was he really?
Tiny.
Yeah. Well, of course, in those days, people were tinier. But, lots of
Napoleon.
People. Napoleon.
He's the most famous.
There, a lot of people are very accomplished. Carnegie, I think Andrew Carnegie was also. Sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to get letters from somebody's descendant or their relative saying that I'm wrong about their height. But there is no correlation, as far as I can tell, between accomplishment, again, character, morality,
and their height.
So why would you go after someone's height?
Did you see Steve Bannon said that he doesn't expect the president to finish out his full term?
Yeah, he's declared open war on the Republican establishment.
Yeah,
I think a very interesting turn of events. He's going to be running candidates, I think, in all the senatorial primaries against these establishment candidates who had voted for Mitch McConnell for the Senate leadership.
So what's his game in doing this, do you think, exactly? What's he shooting for?
I think it's all about disruption. It's all about his whole nationalist agenda. He wants to drag the Republican Party further to the right and further into this nationalist pose, anti-free trade.
But if he's successful in doing this, he splits the party, doesn't he?
Right. Yeah, he does. And in fact, Lindsey Graham, I think, was on one of the chat shows saying that to the extent that he's successful, he's going to ruin the Republican Party's chances for hanging on to their majorities in the House and Senate and probably the White House in 2020. So there's all kinds of problems with that. But, someone like Steve Bannon looks at this as a long game proposition.
Yeah.
He's trying to get a hold of the party and fundamentally change the party. Realize that you can't really necessarily do that overnight, but over the course of several election cycles, you can do that. Now, I don't think it's a successful formula because I don't think it's a majority proposition. But he seems to.
We don't know.
I don't think so.
All right.
I don't think so. I think he believes things that we don't believe. That's my guess.
Eric Zorn. He's very tall. Boy, you're very tall.
That's true.
Totally tall.
But it means nothing.
It means nothing really in the long run. Read him in the Chicago Tribune, everybody. We'll find out what Steve Bertrand has next. Thanks, Eric. It's WGN.
Thanks, see you.